Welcome to the Fire to Stop podcast channel, the number one channel where first responders go to be informed and entertained 5 days a week. Today, we've got a crazy breakdown. This is a hostage rescue that if this doesn't give you a war boner, I don't know what will. And to break this case down, I've got a very special someone. I've got Eric from Two Cops and One Donut here to break it down. I'm super psyched about that. I'm a huge fan of Two Cops, One Donut. I'm sure you guys are as well. This is just a wild case. Today's show is sponsored by GhostBed.com/Wolfpack, FactorMeals.com/Wolfpack, 50% off, and The Wellness Company. We'll get to that later. Hit it, Joshua.
Let's the growing calls across the nation to defund the police.
To end policing as we know it.
Off the charts violence in New York City. 11 people shot in just 8 hours on Sunday.
The police officers who every single day put on that uniform and they run towards danger when we run away from it.
Oh, folks in the chats, let me apologize. That's two really bad intros. I've had two shows in a row. And I apologize. Listen, I spent the last hour hanging out with Eric from Two Cops, One Donut. Usually don't get a chance to hang out with our guests before the show. I didn't even prep or like clear my throat or do any of the things that I normally do in an intro. And I apologize for that. But we have a bunch of people in the live chats today. So if you're listening for the first time, just know that this is a live production and we do have some paid fans, paid members on the YouTubes watching. And you can watch on YouTube. You don't have to pay. But if you want to be in the chats, you know, we got a lot of paid members. We got Red over here, Loren, Pot Roast, Malone, the Falconator, Abby Ellsworth on Being a Police Officer is with us, Andy H. Finally making a live show, he says in the chat. So it's good to have you, Mr. Andy H. Thank you guys. I'm not going to scroll on up here. We got Will Cray and David J. Thank you guys all for being in the live chats. Today's breakdown, though, out of Scottsdale, Arizona, hostage rescue, a real HRT, hostage rescue team. This is an action-packed adventure of a breakdown. It's going to be a little bit loosey-goosey because I have Two Cops, One Donut on here to break it down with me. By the way, Red's in the chats. Red, we just finished up your chapters of the book last night, and I don't seem like a misogynist anymore. They really painted me to look like a modern gentleman, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you could be the judge of that later. But I appreciate you being here. That means a lot to me. Without further ado, let's go ahead and bring on Eric here. Eric, do you want me to refer to you by your rank? I see that you have your rank in the backstage stuff. Do you want me to drop?
No, you can just call me Eric. That's fine. Eric Levine. I always by default put Sergeant Eric Levine because my podcast is based on policing, and a lot of people, most of my people are just first responders, and so yeah, you can
sure how's well. Adam Levine, your brother
no relation, all related to Avril Levine, sir.
That's what it was. Avril Levine. Who's Adam Levine?
That's Maroon 5.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I thought you looked very Maroon 5-ish. By the way, Maroon 5, one of the best lovemaking albums, that original album, that the first album they ever came out with, one of the best albums. Back in the day, you used to listen to CDs when you were making love. I don't know where that went away. That used to be the thing, though. You always had to have your lovemaking CD. Yeah. Oftentimes, it was one that you burned yourself. You made it yourself.
Yeah.
I didn't go through all that. It was just the Maroon 5 or OG album. Every time it sealed the deal with that.
And when you were trying to show off for your girl, you'd get out the magazine of CDs that you have burned.
Yeah. Like,
go to the last four pages. That's my love making reels down there. So go check that
out. Right.
And you'd impress them. Yeah.
I'm glad we're the same age and we remember the same nostalgia. Old Maroon 5, Sarah Kelch in the chats. Old Maroon 5 was great. They really were great. Now, listen, I don't know that Maroon 5 would really go along with today's breakdown. I think today's breakdown is more Alanis Morissette style breakdown. And by Alanis Morissette, I mean like if the suspect in this case was Joey and the cops were Alanis Morissette, right?
Yes.
Because we know that Joey obviously made her so mad that she made the Jagged Little Pill album.
Yeah. Shout out Full House.
Shout out Full House. So, so I would go with Alanis Morissette. By the way, funny story on that. And I'm just as a loosey goosey show. Eric, I don't know what it is about you. I just want to be loosey goosey today. I was getting ready for a raid. The biggest raid that I've ever been in. It was in Afghanistan. I think this was in 2005 or 2006. And big raid. And had a double basic load carry out and some, and I was the younger guy. I was the youngest guy. And one of them were like, TNZ, you know, how many rounds do you have? And I said, how many rounds? And they're like, you need more. So head over to the ammo tent, get more. How many hand grenades do you have? You know, I have two. You need more. You need like four. So go. So, all right, I'm getting excited and I go to this ammo tent and the big jacked armor guy's in there and I'm in there and I just tell him like, hey, I need to load out this bag with some extra rounds and I need a couple extra grenades. And I had my Bose headphones on with my anti-skip CD player connected to my belt. This is 2005. They had MP3 players weren't there yet.
Yeah.
That hadn't happened yet. And the guy goes, all right, man, you excited? You excited about tonight? And I was like, yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. I'm good, man. I'm pretty excited about tonight. And he was like, what are you listening to? Let me see what you're listening to. And he takes my headphones off and he puts them on his own head. And he was like, what is this? And I was like, that's Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill. And he was like, what the fuck? So he told everybody that, when we were headed towards the hit, towards the target, somebody was like, hey, Tansy, were you really listening to Alanis Morissette getting prepped for tonight? And I was like, yeah, why is that such a big deal? And they're like, you're a fucking idiot, man. And I was like,
hey, she was an emotional, scorned woman.
Right? I felt like that music made me kind of angry. I was like, dude, whoever did this to you is a huge asshole.
And she made a comeback too. I don't know if you paid attention, but she's got a bunch of like acoustic stuff out of all of her old stuff.
You know, I lost it. My love for Lance was that went away when she had that bad kissing scene in Sex and the City. And I know it was acting and it was supposed to be like, she's not a good kisser, but like in my brain, I felt like she's probably not a good kisser. So,
it turned you off.
You didn't watch Sex in the City?
I didn't watch Sex in the City.
No. Me either. I didn't either. Something.
Watched a lot of Friends.
So anyway, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry I went down that stupid tangent. Yes, all of you guys are like, damn it, Tansy. Low Rim Pot Rose Malone says, she is still good. I just saw her on Garbage and Garbage last summer. Man, how lucky are you? I had tickets to one Alanis Morissette show and a hurricane ruined it. There was a hurricane coming through and they canceled the show and I never got to see Alanis Morissette live, but I did see Coolio. So,
and his one braid he's got left?
Before he died, I saw it. And that was pretty cool. So I can at least say I saw that. I never saw Maroon 5 either.
Low Rent Pot Roast Malone. That's a great name, by the way.
Yes, it is. It's a very odd name. But,
I like it.
I'd love to know the backstory on it.
I know. You could make a podcast out of gamer names. Oh my God. I would love to. Like.
So I've actually started I do stand-up comedy quite a bit. And I'm actually writing a stand-up bit right now on group chat names. Are you in any group chats?
I am in several group chats.
You'll go to jail. Like you'll go to jail if they find those group chats. Some of them are like Anne Frank's diary. There's some good ones out there, Dan, that are just.
I have one that's just called Wieners.
Yeah, there you go. Like Wieners, you know what I mean?
And there's a picture of a hot dog on there. So
and that's how I know comedy's not really dead. It's just like because of the woke cancel culture kind of took over, we all moved it over to private group chats. And that's always made me feel like really good because like I know like and I'm in a one group chat where there's a black dude in this group chat. There's like two black dudes in the group chat. There's an Arabic dude in the group chat. There's an actual Jew in the group chat. And we all, to even get into the group text, you have to say a racist joke in the text so that we're all
guilty. We go down, we're all going down.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. So,
like it's,
I've got a friend who has not changed his gamer tag since we were 12.
Okay.
He is still Pussy Slayer 69. Still,
that sounds like a Chris Hansen episode. Like, sir, are you or are you not Pussy Slayer 69? And did you?
Why don't you have a seat?
Why don't you have a seat? So I was Surf Stud at yahoo.com since I was a little kid. And it wasn't until I opened up my own business. But even when I was a cop, on my application, it was Surf Stud at yahoo.com.
So never surfed a day in my life.
I went to the police academy and they're like, who the fuck is Surf Stud at yahoo.com?
That's great. I was obsessed with baseball. So luckily mine was pretty minor. It was the name of a pitch, the slider. I was like, the slider. Oh. In my baseball number. Yeah.
So I went with MySpace. I had a sea turtle tattoo and The year all I got my sea turtle tattoo, that stupid fucking Nemo movie came out. Same year. So everybody started calling me Crush. So my MySpace account was Crush.
Awesome. That's the voice I was just trying to badly impersonate. Yeah. Yeah, we took our kids to that Disney thing where the crush comes out and like talks, and it's like some, I still don't know how they do it, but it's like a live person that can interact with the crowd. And the dude's always like a comedy genius. Like, he's able to turn whatever the kids are saying into some adult humor without the kids knowing, which is
perfect. Yeah. Oh, that is a beautiful art. I'd like to have that job, to be honest with you. I think I could do that. I can roast people and make fun of people pretty well. I like that part of stand-up comedy when you get to work the crowd. If there's like a crowd, like if there's a state trooper in the crowd, I can just do the whole, I could do a whole 15 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Just shitting on one state trooper. I've got state trooper jokes for days.
Police work. It's really just crowd work. It's really what we do.
It really is. It really is. Yeah. My favorite one though, we had this guy, God damn it, Eric, we never do this. This is usually a very serious show. We get right into the breakdowns. Like, they're real deal, like SWAT dudes that watch this. And here I am. But I feel like doing it. But I had this one cop that I worked with all the time, and he's brilliant at the crowd work thing. And we had this drunk guy, super drunk and belligerent, again, like wanting to get kicked out of the bar type sitch. Great. Just one of those ones you're probably going to go hands on with. And, so he's talking to the guy, and the guy's just being a real asshole. And he's like, hold on one second. I'm going to need you to talk into this mic really quick. He pulls out his baton, folds it out, and goes, and he's like, could you tell me like what the bouncer said to you? And he's like, and the guy like went like full cops mode, you know, like talking into this microphone. It was brilliant. Then we had another one where this lady was like, you know, a crack whore, a prostitute gone bad type deal, and she's complaining, and she's like, he ran that way, and he pulled his baton out, and he goes,
I love it.
Dude, the best. I always love that. Yeah, it always diffuses the situation. Now if I do that, I get my ass kicked. They'd be like, what are you getting smart with me? What's your badge number?
Yeah.
Like, no. I was just trying to make a joke.
Yeah.
No, Red, it was not my training officer. That would have been another man named Eric. So the best of cops in the biz, always named Eric. Spelled with a C, damn, though.
Do I look that old?
No. What are you, like 19?
Thank you. Let me see. I'm using the mic cleverly to hide my gray.
I've got a face of baby, so I can't grow facial hair. It just doesn't come in. Same way on my chest, it just comes out like little sporadic clumps. But I wear a hat.
I don't believe you. My grace. I don't believe you. Show me your chest. Let me see.
My chest has been out many times on this show with penises on it and everything else. Nice. And our chesters know, like if they put in a super chat for me to draw something on my chest, I always do it. But
I didn't ask. We're allowed to curse and all that.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I just want.
Yeah, your First Amendment still applies.
Okay,
you say whatever you want within reason. Within reason,
right?
Yeah. All right. That's enough fucking bullshitting around. Which we never do. We never do on Fridays. It's really funny. We usually get like right to it. Fridays usually our super serious show. It's just something about you though. Just something about you that makes me want to cut up.
Thanks. You know? I like it. Something about your face makes me want to cut
up and act a fool. Act a ruckus. We did use to start ruckus when Mike the Cop was on. He would like to say that he's no nonsense, and he'd be like, today we're gonna be no nonsense, we're gonna keep it serious, and then we would end up, you know, fucking around for half the show, and then people would complain that we never got to the breakdown, that we just fucked around. All right, today comes out of Scottsdale, Arizona. This is a hostage team. Now if you haven't seen this video, It came out in January. The incident happened in December, but the video came out in December. Now, I think this is one of those videos. I'm sorry, the video came out in January. The incident happened in December. I think it is one of those videos that had it gone wrong at all, it would have gone viral. And a lot of the people that I know, a lot of you ex-military guys, they think you know something. You would have been second guessing these guys in every step of the way. You would assume, like, why did they do this? Why did they put this car there? If anything would have went wrong, you guys would have shit on these guys, called them wannabes, called them names, but it went perfect. And now you guys are all like, these guys are badass. I'm not shitting. I get that's a natural. I get that's natural, but I want you to be aware of it. Like, I want you to have a little self-awareness to know that you know, and I know, that inside, had any of this gone wrong, had any civilians, had the hostage not have made it, you would have ripped these guys apart. And I'm only saying that to say that you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
All right. So just keep that in mind. You don't know what you don't know. And sometimes things don't go bad, but you know that you would be shitting on these guys. So just keep that in mind. So that way the next time something doesn't go right, we'll talk about it today. And hopefully you can go back and be like, well, these guys just got lucky here. And that's why we praise them. These guys didn't get so lucky. So it doesn't really have to do with skill or training or anything like that. It's just sometimes things really work out and sometimes they don't. Fair, is that a fair assessment on that, Eric?
I agree. Yeah, especially when you don't have a lot of time to plan. I don't want to get too far ahead of the video. But.
No, do whatever you want. But you know how it goes, right? This one didn't go viral. It should have gone viral. This should have been a viral video. Absolutely. It should have been on every single news outlet across the country. I have my speculations. I have my reasons why it might not have gone, but I think that it 100% would have been viral had one person died in this other than the suspect.
I just wish the initial reaction to things like this were, what did that bad guy do that was so fucked up? But it's never that. It's like, where can I see where the cops messed up? That's the initial reaction. Where do the cops screw up? And I hate that is our new, if you held the bad guys to the same accountability that you're holding cops, that you're holding NFL football players, then I think the world would be a better place.
Yeah. You know, a football player can have a perfect game up into the fourth quarter and then fuck up just in the last 30 seconds. All of a sudden, he's the worst quarterback that's ever lived, you know, and here's the whole breakdown, you know, they don't talk about the coach who made the call or the guard who didn't pull when he should have put, you know, they don't talk about the great athleticism from the defense. They only talk about
everybody knows how to coach better than the coach who's getting paid to do it for a living and is trained their whole lives. I'm like, did you play football growing up? No, I just watch it. I'm like,
Who has made like 600 perfect decisions and one bad decision. And all of a sudden he has no idea how to coach. You know?
My favorite thing is like, hey, have you ever done a ride along with a police officer? No. I'm like, okay. So you've no clue what it's like on the other side.
Right. Yeah. 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 Have you ever done a ride along? And not only have you ever done it like on a Friday night on the shitty side of town?
Yeah.
Then how about we not talk? Which, you know, it's just funny. I've said this on the show before. I think that it should be your civic duty. Just kind of like you sign up for the draft, the draft and being on a jury. Those are your two civic, like that's the only thing in your country. If you want to be a citizen in the United States, those are the only two things that you have to do as a citizen. You have to be on jury duty if you get called for it, and you have to join the draft or whatever.
Yeah.
There's the only thing other than that, like you're free to do whatever. I think they should add at some point you get called up to be a ride along and you have to do it.
Absolutely. Like, I think there should be how to handle a traffic stop course in driver's ed in high school. I don't know if they still do driver's ed in high school, but you know, that your SROs, that should be a part of their duties. Lord knows they've already got one of the easier jobs, except when shit hits the fan for them. And I don't care if SROs say, you know, you took that gig because it's the easier one.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, don't try to tell me that you like, it's because you love kids. It's because you're trying to get that master's degree. And
Take like, home car.
There's no shame in that. Like, just own it, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, you're right though. They always have an excuse. It's like, we don't need an excuse from you guys. Yeah.
They I was asked to do it. You know, I'd be out there in the streets with you still. I'm like, whatever, dude.
No, it's cool, man. Like you're going through a divorce and you're trying to save that marriage. Like, we get it, bro. I think it's fine. Exactly. Like, you got caught cheating on your wife and shit hit the fan for you. It's cool.
We're never gonna stay on topic. You realize that we have a different
maybe the worst breakdown I've ever had to deal with. Like,
there's a weird man crush thing going on here.
this is getting out of control quick. I might just have to say Josh take over for us.
Yeah,
here we go. Doing it now. So this is in Scottsdale, Arizona. Now this is gonna take place in a very busy four-way intersection, just to paint it out. I know 99.9% of you guys are listening on audio and you can't see the video. Don't get frustrated. I'm going to break it down Big Bird to Cookie Monster for you. We've got a four-way intersection, businesses on all sides of the intersection, relatively a busy intersection. We're not talking about like inner city, but definitely a suburban four-way intersection. This is going to happen at a very stereotypical Arizona Mexican restaurant. If you can picture a Mexican restaurant in Scottsdale, Arizona, that's this Mexican restaurant. Probably worth, you know, probably like a 3-star at best on the Google ratings and reviews. You know, probably not the best of Mexican restaurants in the town, but you know, probably the one that the cops will go to at lunch on the lunch breaks because they got them $1.25 tacos with the extra hot salsa that it's hard to find at the classier Mexican restaurants. And what's happening right now is that we have a hostage, and the hostage is going to be a grown ass man. Now here's where this case gets a little bit sketchy. Nobody wants to say the name of the hostage, and nobody wants to talk about where the hostage came from and how he became a hostage. And there's no information about really how this started, except that it's a robbery. Now, I was able to talk to some tactical officers who have broken this thing down on a training level, like statewide training levels. They've personally talked to guys from Scottsdale to get this information. They passed it on to me. And without confirming this, I'm only going to speculate based on some things that I've heard, and I've put the puzzle pieces together on my own. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I put the puzzle together incorrectly, but the way I have put this puzzle together is that this is a cartel. This is a cartel level engagement, meaning that somebody was hired probably by a cartel. There was a kidnapping. There was some selling of probably guns. There's a lot of guns and a lot of guns that you can't really get a hold of. A UMP full auto 45 is going to be one of the big players in here. That is a gun that not a lot of people get to have. It's basically like an MP5, but instead of but it's a 45 caliber fully auto machine gun, essentially. Not a very easy gun to come by. You familiar with these kinds of cannons?
Yes. There? And for those that are wondering, fully auto means you hold the trigger down and it just keeps spewing. But out there. Yeah.
Right. Brrr, and they're 45. So like, you know, a Tommy gun was a 45, right? Yep. Tommy gun shot 45. So, you know, a high caliber weapon that shoots very, very quickly. Not something you really want to fuck around with too much. But again, not a gun that you can just go find. Like, you can't just go right to any gun shop and buy this. I mean, collectors have a hard time getting a hold of this gun.
Right. So knowing that as an officer, like, you know, it, depending on how much information you have on your bad guy prior to this, you may be able to get a lot more information if this is a weapon that he's actually purchased himself. But often than not, it's a stolen firearm that they've taken.
Right. So. Right. And so the fact that that these guys have that kind of firepower. We're going to go over what else was found in this vehicle. Definitely cartel level, which means that this is some pretty serious shit that these cops are going up against. Now, one of the first questions you guys are going to ask are, why are the jump out boys? I can't say jump out boys in regular voice. I always have to say like jump out boys. I don't know why. It's a tick. It's like a autism thing for me, I guess.
Is that I have the same thing with Sensies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Whenever I at work, I have them in my office because cops smell like crap. We all know that. Yeah. And so I have two Sensi things, and I can't help it, but that's just how I say Sensi. I don't think I can say it normal.
Now, do you call the felony forest things that people want? The Christmas trees, are those Sensis? Trees? Yeah. You always know how good a car stop's going to be.
Yep.
Based on how many Christmas trees or felony forests.
What's your reasonable suspicion? Your forest you got right there.
Not only is it a forest, but it's a black ice force.
Yes. So
that's the international symbol for I'm trafficking.
With a Crown Royal bag sitting in the middle.
Oh, yeah. I wonder where the money and the dope is.
Right.
Probably not in that Crown Royal bag.
Yeah, your viewers, if you got any cops that are watching this, they're probably laughing their ass off right now. Like, oh my God, they're so right.
You know it though. Like, dude, when you get that traffic stop and you see the Crown Royal bag, you already like, you already get that. It's like, you get like excited. You're like, oh, it's a good stop.
Yeah. You're like a canine just wiggling his butt around, ready to work.
You're like, I got it, baby.
Yep.
Yeah, I love it. And then you don't even see like the caps, like the heroin needle caps. Like, you totally miss that because you just had the the Crown Royal bag.
Yeah, the Visine. For if you're wondering why that's important, because that's a felony scratch. So that's what we're looking for.
Yes. So, all right. Scottsdale police, they released this thing. This is going to, they're going to have two men inside of a vehicle, Renee Coldren and 43-year-old Wyatt Edge, suspect of being involved in an armed robbery weeks before. Now, I've heard that Renee was a girl, but I've also heard it's a dude. And I don't know.
A hostage?
No, the so there's in the car originally was the two hostage takers and a hostage. And these jump out bunnies are actually SWAT. They're actually a arm of the SWAT team. They're all SWAT officers that are also on a undercover task force.
Yeah, you can tell by their movements that they're trained. That's not a typical street officer tactic and approach that they use.
Right. And to be able to talk this out as quickly as they do. And so when I first saw this, that was the first thing I said was, okay, that's way too good of a plan, way too fast to just be jump out bunnies detectives coming up with some plan. No, these guys are definitely some guys SWAT. Now, if you go down and look at the comments on the YouTubes, people are like, why didn't they just use SWAT? Why are the detectives doing this? And it's like, it doesn't take more than 30 seconds of this video for you to realize that these guys are absolutely of some kind of SWAT.
They're in all unmarked vehicles. Two, they are kitted up. Three, just in the manner in which they're carrying their weapons, that is experience, because you know you can't. If you've ever seen patrol officers, they'll either have their rifle mounted or it's sitting in the side seat next to them and isn't in a tactically ready position, knowing that you're about to face somebody that is probably going to fire back.
Yeah. And I knew like from the first second that the one officer takes rounds, we're going to show you that in a minute. I just want you guys to pay attention really quickly. This is going to escalate very fast, but he immediately lays his seat back and just watches the rounds fly over his head, which is an absolute boss move. And then there's another move from another vehicle that we have to talk about that I didn't even see anybody talk about in the chats and or in the comment section of this video that I think maybe is missed by a lot of people. Again, this should have been viral. This is one of these videos that you should leave this. I wore my Guns Up Giddy Up shirt just for this video. You guys should all have hard-ons at the end of this video. That's completely normal. If you don't have a hard-on, then you're probably not American, or maybe something's wrong. Maybe you need to blue chew it up. I don't know. But this is one of those cases that this is why we wake up. This is why we go to work. And if you're not showing this to your boys, if you're a supervisor, if you're not showing this as a pump-up video to your squad, maybe you're missing an opportunity to really drain some beer. So let's go ahead and play. What you got is an SUV.
That has it unfolded.
Go ahead and stop it right here.
Little positive pressure.
Yeah. So what you missed here in the original video is the radio traffic. Josh, do you know if you have, do they have the radio communications, or do we miss that?
No, this is just a press release that was given out to the news.
Okay. If you had the YouTube, you can hear the radio traffic. They come up with a hasty plan. It's there's a hostage in this car, and one person gets out of the car and goes into the Mexican restaurant. It looks to me as like if he's maybe going to get some takeout, some Mexican takeout. The detectives or SWAT members in this case, they realize that they are now 50% of the threat is missing. So this is the time to take it down. So they're like, hey, he's inside. The hostage taker is in the back seat. The hostage is in the front seat. Let's get a vehicle from the rear to hit the rear passenger side and knock him out. And what they mean there is like knock him out of the fight, knock him unconscious, whatever, but let's wreck the side of this vehicle. Then they have to have a vehicle in front. Because if you don't, and this guy gets into the driver's seat, where then can he go?
Yeah. And a lot of times with these vehicles, you can't throw it into drive. If there's we call it putting positive pressure on the vehicle. So you get up there and you slightly bump that car forward or you slightly bump that car backwards, and then they cannot put it into drive.
Right. And that's because the gear is got weight on it and it won't release.
Yes.
Not being a mechanic. But if you guys do any of the JITs, if you guys are any JITs practitioners, you know that if you've got somebody from behind, they can just walk out the front, right? Or if you are too far on the left, they can squeeze out the right. So if you have a car from the rear, he could get into the driver's seat and drive just right out. So you have to have a vehicle in the front, which is going to cause a bit of crossfire. But these guys are trained warriors and tacticians, whatever you want to call it. And so I know that a lot of people are going to say that's crossfire. You know, you have to have a vehicle there. So that means the person that's going to go to the front of the vehicle really has to have some balls, because he is now going to be face to face with a hostage taker that has a gun, and they know him to have a gun. Also, everybody else is coming from the rear of the vehicle, which means everybody's going to be shooting into the vehicle, which where all the bullets going to head towards. Right. The front guy. So this first guy in the pickup truck that's going to pit the truck from the front really has to have his shit together, and he really has to train his team. He has to really trust his team that he's not going to get shot. So what we have here for the listeners is we have a Tahoe come in, and it looks like they're going against maybe like a Blazer. Is that like a newer model Chevy Blazer? Or
I'm not sure what that is, but it's definitely
like a GMC, kind of like one of those like GMC Terracons or something. I don't know. It's like a mid-level,
mid-sized Swiss cheese model.
it's about to be like the Bonnie and Clyde mobile.
Yeah.
And they do it. The plan works out great. So first vehicle nails the back of the car, and then all three other
could exit their vehicles. Calderon began firing rounds from a fully automatic rifle from the back seat of his vehicle into the detectives' windshields. Detectives exited their vehicles and continued getting shot at from Calderon, who was wearing body armor and armed with multiple guns. In response, four members of the Special Assignments Unit fired their duty weapons, striking Calderon, who was still in the back seat of the vehicle.
All right, pause this. She's boring. That's why she doesn't.
Can we just say that cops need to stop doing their announcements like this and just talk like a fucking human being?
Bro, thank you.
Oh my God.
Isn't it not the most annoying thing in the world? Like, just fucking.
Just talk to people.
Yeah.
Just talk to people.
Hey, guys.
You can say that same thing and talk like a normal person, not be RoboCop.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll see that, and they're just trying to be just like the state training videos that they slept through in the academy.
Yeah.
So like, if you know you slept through that vehicle, why do you want to recreate it?
Yeah. I think we actually welcome in more criticisms when we act, you know, the old just the facts, ma'am. Like that's kind of how they're acting here.
No, you're right. And that's why we do these breakdowns, because I feel like we do it like Big Bird of Cookie Monster. We answer a lot of the questions that people might have. But yeah, I don't think that there's anything wrong. It's like, and when you're a cop, you go through the academy, you have the death by PowerPoint, you see the stupid little moto video that they play at the beginning, and then they fucking do it. And it's like, we all hate it. We're all bored by it. We all don't like it. And then we become training officers 8 years later down the road and then do the same exact fucking thing. Like, you don't remember hating this when you were there? So why are you recreating it? Like, why don't you do it differently? I don't know. I never made it that far. I was never going to make it that far in life. I didn't want to make it. But if I did make it that far, I would change it up a lot. Anyway, so here we go. I'm not going to let her talk so much more. So Detective 1, for you guys who are listening, he rams into the back of the car. Detective 3 goes, rams into his car. And then Detective 2 is kind of in there too, in the back. And then we have Detective 4 is in the pickup truck pitting in the front. Immediately the windshield burst into explosive fire. Detective 1, the one that slammed into the back of the SUV, is going to, it looks like he drops his seat backwards. And these rounds are just popping right over his face. So imagine you're sitting in your patrol vehicle and rounds start ripping through the glass at your head level, and you're laying down looking up at it, because that's what's happening in this video. You can go ahead and push play. I don't know if you can mute it while you play. That way our video listeners can, I mean, our people watching this can see it while I'm talking, but our audio listeners, which is 99% of you, So this jump out guy, he's got his rifle and he's just watching these rounds rip through his windshield. He's going to try to return fire out the window. But again, he can't return fire, but so much because we have a hostage. So now he's going to crawl out the side of his car. He kicks his door open. He runs around the side, immediately has a weapons malfunction. And we have to talk about this. He dumps the magazine and like four rounds fall out. So he had a very bad malfunction. He's going to transition over to his pistol, which is a beautiful pistol, by the way. And he's going to get to work. Now, the gentleman that was in the car getting just absolutely lit up, the one we're talking about here, once he transitions to the pistol, he jumps onto the hood of his car that just took all of the bullets, and he shoves his pistol into the window. As a second officer gets out, also has a weapons malfunction, goes to his tap rack ready, and then dumps rounds into the vehicle. So go ahead and pause it here. What you didn't see and what these guys didn't see was that the hostage booked it out as soon as the car got hit. Took off.
Yeah, they're yelling. They're yelling like, where's the hostage? Where's the hostage? Where's the hostage? And I know the first time I watched this, I was like freaking out because I'm like, yeah, where is the hostage? I didn't know they had one. So luckily he got out of there.
And these guys are putting some pretty good tight shot groups and they're firing down into the vehicle. They're not firing parallel. They're not shooting horizontal. They're kind of at an acute angle so that their rounds don't go into this busy intersection. And you can see every rifleman almost has his elbow cocked up so that the rounds are going down into the vehicle and not through the vehicle. Because again, and that's how I knew these guys are much more trained than their attire.
Than your average officer. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Like these guys are wearing Vans tennis shoes. One, they're all fucking specimens. Like they're all jacked, right? Like
handsome. Yeah, they're operators. Operators fuck.
Yeah, they definitely look like pretty decent operators. This Gucci Glock that this dude's putting rounds into them, but they are exchanging rounds. Now, this is the cool part. Go ahead and hit play. I love this, by the way. Go ahead and hit play. This is just, you got to go and watch this video. If you're sitting in your cop car, you want to get jacked up for the day, this is the video to watch, man. This is some good shit. They're all up in this vehicle. Hostage is out. Suspect is down inside, but he's still got a gun. They're going to put six more in him because he flinches. It's probably involuntary spasm from being shot fucking a million times. But they're going to put six more in him just to make sure, which I've got no problem with. I think that's great. All right, go ahead and stop the video. Let me see if I can fast forward to this because I want to go to the other detective here. Let me get to it. The detective number one, here we go. Here's detective number one. He's going to get, oh, nope, that's not him. I'm sorry. Here we go, right here. So this is the detective that went to the front of the vehicle. So he's the one that is head on. Now, luckily for them, the suspect is shooting out the back window into the back rear vehicle that hit them first. That's the guy that lays back in his seat, lets the rounds fall over his head. As soon as the rounds stop, he bails out the back, has a weapon malfunction, jumps up onto the hood of his truck, puts his Glock in the window of the car. It's amazing. Like,
can I make a point real quick? I want people to understand that as soon as these detectives hit this vehicle, he was putting rounds out there. Now, I don't know a whole lot of bad guys that are ready to get in a firefight the minute an officer makes contact with them.
Second.
So that tells me the mindset of this guy was he was going out in a blaze of glory. He was either going to shoot his way out of there or he was going to die trying. So that is something important to keep in mind, that as soon as these officers in undercover vehicles, mind you, he was able to get that weapon up and ready and laying down rounds before the officers even had a chance to put their vehicles in park.
Now, I remember my very first firefight. I remember the crack of the rounds coming over my head. I remember seeing a branch fall out of a tree, which means in reality, the rounds were pretty far above my head if a branch is dropping things. And I remember in that moment looking at everybody else that I was with And everybody else that I was with was doing the same thing I was doing, hunched over, down, way below the trucks. And I remember thinking, I have to get up and shoot back. I really don't want to. And I remember saying, go. And I forced myself up and I forced myself to put rounds downrange. But I remember having to have that talk with myself. The fact that these guys did not have that talk with themselves at all means that they have probably been in some crazier shit.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been long, because not one of these dudes has that moment of, I'm just going to pull it together. I mean, this guy is taking rounds through the windshield of his car, not the passenger side, but where he's sitting. He lays back and still, without hesitation, puts his gun into the fight, takes a round through the window, lays back down, bails out without thinking, runs around the car, has a weapons malfunction, has the most immaculate transition onto the hood of a car, like drawing pistol onto the hood of the car, face to face, no cover with the bad guy. Now, the other detective, same thing, bails out of his car. You can see, if you play this in slow motion, again, most of you guys are listeners, and so you can't see this, but I encourage you to watch it. It's a full auto. If you play it in slow motion, it's brrr, I mean, the dude cuts his own car in half at the officers, and this officer, no cover, dumping rounds again at that acute angle down into the patrol vehicle. He takes a round through the ear while he's laying it down. I mean, because they had to, because this is a hostage rescue type scenario. They didn't have time. And I just think that that is, I just think that is so fantastic. I think what a bunch of heroes.
The speed that it happens when you watch the video, it's going 300 times faster for those officers that are involved.
Yes.
And it shows that their training paid off. It shows that they've been through the shit, because they go through this smooth.
So smooth. Now, I want to go back to that first guy. And we just talked about all the heroism here. And man, I love the show. Before I do this, because this is my favorite part of the video, before we get to this part of the video, and we'll close it out, this is my favorite part, so don't go anywhere. Today's show is brought to you by GhostBed.com/Wolfpack. Sleep so good, it's scary. I guarantee you that you cannot be a jump out boy if you sleep like a peasant. You got to have a good night's sleep to be at that level. That's why we are proud to partner with GhostBed. Beds made in the good old, I don't know if you can do this or not, but you ever heard of this chant? USA, yes, USA, yes, USA. These are beds made in the good old USA, baby. They got that cooling technology, so if you get hot like they do in Scottsdale, Arizona, who's as hot as balls down there, that cooling technology, it's like the cool side of your pillow forever and ever and ever. You never have to flip it over. But GhostBed right now offering 50% off to the Wolf Pack. Now listen, I told them they wanted to do 50% off the pillows, the sheets, the comforters, the mattresses. They want to do 50% on all of it for first responders. And I said, but listen, like, we've got the first responder wives. We've got first responder bloggers. I mean, there's a lot of people that listen to the show that aren't first responders. They said, you know what? That's too difficult. Fuck it. They all get 50% off. If they use the promo code Wolfpack, that means their first responder friends and family, just give it to them all. So 50% off to the whole Wolfpack. Congratulations for being so amazing. There's a picture of me and old Mike the cop on there. But they got the Ghost Bed Lux. They got all the different ghost beds on there. Absolutely fantastic. I travel almost every other weekend. I take my ghost bed pillow. It's like my little piece of home. I take it with me because I can't take my ghost bed with me, but I can take the pillow. I will not sleep on any hotel mattress. I won't go anywhere without my ghost bed pillow. Now I actually have my ghost bed travel pillow, which is just a regular ghost bed pillow that I travel with, and I keep it in I bought like a bag with a zipper, and I travel with, and it's just for traveling. So head over to ghostbed.com, use that promo code Wolfpack. Also, we've got factormeals.com/Wolfpack50. You cannot get the legs of these officers. You cannot get the biceps of these dudes unless you are eating healthy and at the top of your game. Listen, if you want to be a jump out boy like one of these guys, you want to be a stone cold killer like these dudes, it all starts with a healthy diet. Again, good night's sleep and healthy diet makes you a better first responder. That's why we partner with Ghost Bed and with Factor Meals. Factor Meals is meal planning to the next level. These are chef prepared, fresh, never frozen meals delivered right to your door so that you're not in your squad room eating like a peasant. You don't need to be doing the Chick-fil-A's and the McDonald's and the Taco Bells all day long, every single day. Get you on a meal plan. Factor Meals will deliver these right to your door. You can choose out. You can get calorie conscious. You can get protein heavy, 50 grams of protein each meal. You can get the breakfast shakes. You can get the smoothies. You can get breakfast. They've even got pancakes on these things. They got vegetarian options, vegan options, but you can plan out your whole week. I do mine every Tuesday. Every Tuesday I go on Factor Meals. I pick out what meals I need so that I don't have to, you know, listen, by the time I drive to the store, pick out the meals, come home, fire up the stove, find all the lids to my Tupperwares and meal plan. Like that's all the time I could have been banging my old lady or hanging out with my kids. By the way, I never really call her old lady.
She don't listen to you anyway. It's fine.
Yeah, my wife doesn't listen to me. Thank God. But I'd be making sweet love to my romantic wife, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's critical time. So you're doing court prep. You're doing your jiu-jitsu's. You're doing your three-gun competition practice training, your dry fires, your CrossFit, all the bullshits. You don't have time to do meal planning. Let Factor Meals do it for you. The price is a wash by the time you drive to the store and all those things. And then also, real quick, last one, the Wellness Company. I'm so happy. They're brand new to us. The Wellness Company. Love these guys. This is Dr. Drew. He's coming on our Wednesday show. You guys know Dr. Drew from the TVs. But they came up with, after COVID, they were so mad at the Fauci's and everything else after the big Joe Rogan, Dr. McCullough episodes, that these guys were like, listen, we're going to make a wellness package for the end of days. So this is pre-prescribed medicine that's prescribed to you from a little doctor online. They send it to your house in a survival kit so that when the grid goes down, Lord forbid, you've got your ivermectins, your amoxicillins, your penicillins, your Z-Packs, all of the things that you need to survive without having to go raid the CVS and the Walgreens during the zombie apocalypse. That's going to be the most dangerous spot, right? Because all the meth heads and heroin addicts, they're going to need to get to those CVSs and Walgreens, and they're going to fight tooth and nail for those drugs. You ain't got to bother with it. You'll already have it at your house. They update these things yearly. They keep you subscribed. They keep everything that you need to survive the flu or whatever's going to happen when the grid goes down. It's a great peace of mind. And right now they're offering 10% off using the promo code Wolfpack. So head to the Wellness Company. Use that promo code Wolfpack.
I don't know if you realize this, but you just appealed to the midnight officer. And if you guys aren't realizing, you spend about 26 years on average for your lifespan sleeping. So you should take that shit serious. Make sure you have a good piece of equipment when you go to bed. You should eat clean, because when you work midnights, the only thing that's open is what? Fast food. Yep. And you're going to cut your life down. And then you need to take your health seriously as far as the Dr. Drew stuff. So
dude, we won't partner with anybody that like any nicotine companies. Like we have them reach out to us all the time. There's a lot of companies that I'm like, dude, cops just don't need this. Like, I'll be honest with you guys. So they don't need it. I want your money. Yeah. But I also don't want to waste I hate having to do ad reads because it breaks up the show. So if I do it, I want
to be invested in it. Yeah.
I want the cops to be like, fuck, man, I could actually use that.
You know? Do the same thing. All my sponsors that I get is related to police work and something that I can morally and ethically get behind.
Yeah.
Something. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I learned that from Mike the Cop, actually. I learned that from Mike the Cop because Mike, you know, when I first got into this in the early days, I was like, whoa, more money. Yeah. We can, nicotine, like nicotine pouches. The guys will love that. And Mike's like, no, we're here to help cops make them better. That's not going to make them better. I'm like, oh, God, you're too prim and proper, Mike. You're too religious. Like, don't let your religion. Da, da, da. And then he would preach to me about Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Now I'm like religious and I'm doing BJJ and I'm living healthy and I pretty much quit drinking. So thanks a lot, Mike, for making me a better person. I'm a
purple belt, baby.
Dude, freaking, I'm jelly, dude.
You'll get there.
No, I probably won't.
It's a marathon, baby. It's a marathon.
Let's be real. dude, I can't even get out of my own way with this stuff. Okay, so this is my favorite part of the video. We're finishing it up. This is my favorite part.
One day we'll finish this video.
This is detective number 4 on the video. He is my favorite. He's my favorite. He's the one that has to pit the car from the front. Now, watch what happens. Let's see if you can catch it, Eric. Go ahead and hit play from right here. He gets out of his truck. Notice where everybody else is shooting and who they're shooting towards. Notice where the hostage goes. hostage is going to appear running left of the screen. He's going to bail out behind another car over a bush. Now, this officer is going to come through. One, look how he's walking. Just fucking chill. And he goes all the way to the hostage with empathy and compassion. He does like a quick cursory search. He's not rude. He's got hand control over this guy. The guy's thanking him. He's like, this cop doesn't give two fucks. Now stop. Well, Eric, what is going on right now?
There is while a this picture fire is happening. Fight. There is all hell has broke loose. And this guy is, he's not sprinting. He's not freaking out. He is able to have a conversation during a gunfight with a innocent hostage that he has to check and make sure. Just because they appear to be that way doesn't mean they are. And he's able to think calmly, clearly, move out of the way of the gunfire without panic. And you can see it in the body language. We're watching it on mute, so you can see it in the body. I mean, the duck walk that he's got going on here is fucking beautiful. It's beautiful. Look at this. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, there's a gunfight. I'm good.
Shoom, shoom, shoom.
Just another gunfight.
Yeah. Shoom, 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 shoom. La-di-da-di-da. You can see his shadow. He's kind of staying low. By the way, everybody is shooting in his direction. Everybody.
Yeah.
All the bullets, except from the bad guy, all the bullets are aimed at his truck. Well, now he's got, this is why I say that I knew from the minute that they're calling these guys detectives. I knew from the minute I watched this video, they're not detectives. These are sergeants, because no fucking detective volunteers to pit from the front and all three vehicles pit from the back, knowing that everybody's going to shoot at you unless you 100% trust that those dudes are going to shoot at that acute angle I talked about, and that he trusts and that they've actually practiced this.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He has so much faith. Now let's talk about this. The discipline.
Yeah.
All your friends are in a firefight with a man with a fully auto weapon, a cartel member. All your friends are doing the Lord's work, and you go to the hostage without even thinking about getting in the fight.
Yeah. And you can't, fire back at your friends. You know, he's in a stuck position that he knows he has to trust his team to do the work for him while they're going to keep him safe, draw fire. And he's able to go do his job for this.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, it's a story that it should be told everywhere. This guy in particular, he's like the rugby player that holds the ball, and then right before he gets smoked, he throws the ball and the guy scores. Everybody cheers for the guy that scores. But like, if this dude wouldn't have sacrificed his body and taken that hit and sucked that defender in to the last second and just get murdered, then they wouldn't have scored. I always say that's the rugby player that everybody should be cheering, because he's the hero of the story. This is that guy. Like, this is the dude that knows this is going to be a gunfight. He gets there. He puts himself in the worst position in a gunfight, period. Everybody's shooting at him. He has all the discipline in the world. He doesn't stop. He doesn't try. Listen, I'm not that guy. Everybody would start shooting. I would have peeled the other way to get into the fight. I would have peeled around the back of my vehicle, went and got behind the other officers and got my two cents in, because I'm a piece of shit. And, and my ego would have gotten in the way. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I didn't get all this training not to use it.
Huh?
So they didn't get all this training not to use it.
I want my 10-day vacation, bitch.
Like, right.
For me, this is my favorite character in this story. One, all of the characters in this story are just phenomenal. The hostage lives. Now, they don't break out the hostage's name. I want to get into this. There's no mention of the hostage. There's no mention of how he became a hostage, how long he was a hostage. The only thing we really know is that the second guy in the store, Renier, I believe is the second guy. I might be wrong on that, on his name. Let's see. We've got
quit churching it up there.
Wyatt Edge. Okay, so Renier Coldron is the dude that's dead in the car, and Wyatt Edge. So it is two males. I'm not wrong there. It was two dudes. So the guy in the Mexican restaurant, he gives up without a fight, and they get him in jail. Now, what they know from him is that he's an ex-Marine, Iraq veteran, combat veteran from Iraq. And he said that he didn't know anything about, he just said that his friend called and said, I need some help. And he didn't know that there was going to be a kidnapping involved, but that's all they put out. If you look at the search of the car on the video, you will see Pelican cases everywhere. fully automatic UMP, AK-47. But I want you to see the body armor that he's wearing. It's high-level body armor, worn correctly. Now, look at the Pelican cases stacked in the back. Do you see that, Eric?
Yep. Yeah, and you can also see the bullet trajectories. Like you were saying, everything's coming downwards. That's why the tops of that case is lit up.
Yep, and you can see the three rounds in his body armor, too. That's real good. But he's got a Pelican case on the seat there. He's got dual taped together mags so that he can do quick reloads. The way he's positioned in the seat. But look at these Pelican cases. Follow up with the fully automatic UMP. I have no doubt in my mind that this is a cartel related incident, that these guys were moving some serious shit. And that is why we're not getting any more information and possibly why this isn't viral. I don't think it would have went viral anyway, because I don't think that we like to promote good cops doing good things. I don't think America wants to see good warrior cops. I think we want to see, I think we like the Uvalde effect. I think we enjoy making fun of cops who accidentally shoot their rounds when an acorn hits their hood of the car, or, you know, we accidentally pull a gun instead of our taser. You know, we enjoy that. We don't enjoy, we don't get war boners when the cops do something right. But maybe it didn't go viral because of the cartel style feel that this has to it.
Yeah, it's insane to me. The one, that it didn't go out there. Two, that these officers weren't. I mean, this could be at a presidential level. You may think I'm like exaggerating or being this. This is. I mean, if you ever criticize your police department because you think they're putting too much money into SWAT or they're putting too much money, this is why you do it. I mean, every ounce of training that these guys had shines in this video. This is going to be a trophy video, not because somebody died, but a trophy video because of the absolute discipline in training that they had and the precision, perfection. I mean, just getting your vehicles to come in at the timing they did. I welcome you if you are not a cop. Get with your buddies and say, all right, we're going to do our own little fake takedown. Just try to time moving your vehicles in like this with your friends. I guarantee it will not be as smooth and as clean as that. And this is coming from a guy who screwed up plenty of unmarked approaches. I've done a ton of them. And I can tell you, I wasn't SWAT. I was working a different undercover capacity. And just us doing that, it took a lot of teamwork and practice to get that down. And we screwed up in the field quite a bit on our timing, in which we paid for. The bad guy runs and we had to do extra work. These guys had to do very little extra work because of their precision and timing. And that's from their training. And it, like I said, it shines. You and I saw it just in the guy that you liked the best when we saw him walking. His walk, all we saw was the man's feet, and we knew that the training is uncanny and just perfect. I like
it. I love that. And so I look at a lot of comments on this video. By the way, whoever sent it to me from the Wolfpack, thank you guys. Thank you for sending it to me. I don't know if it was one of the Facebook guys or the Instagram guys. Thank you for sending us this breakdown. I always appreciate it when you guys – you guys make it easy for us to do these shows because you give us what you want to see. And I appreciate that. But when I watched this video, I read the comments and the YouTubes, and a lot of the comments were like, why would they put themselves up for crossfire? Why would they do this? And what kind of guns are they using? Obviously they haven't trained on those platforms because their guns are breaking down, and two of the officers have complete malfunctions and had to sleep. Like, what's up with their rifles? Great questions, but you cannot question their training and their tactics, because what I see here is just extreme discipline, and it just shows you what can go wrong, will go wrong, right? Murphy's Law, let's not forget that. Now, I did reach out to these to the tactical the SWAT Tactical Association guys, the SOTA guys, and they were in contact with them, and there was a reason, and I don't remember what the reason was. I think they said it might have been a barrel issue. It might have been the grain of bullet they were firing versus the magazines that they had in these weapons. But they have since fixed that. They have corrected that. But you cannot tell me that they didn't have adequate training, because you see it go down. Look at the look how fast they transition to pistol. Look how fast they tap rack ready. I mean,
go this back. Was Can you go back just where he comes up shoulder to shoulder? That's another thing. This, when he comes up to this officer, this is an advanced move that a regular patrol officer, no offense to most, right here, his weapon was ready low. He gets up and makes physical contact with his partner and then starts putting, I don't know if he fires here, but he got his weapon pointed downrange. And this is an advanced tactical move right there.
He's going to move around the vehicle. Now he's the one that gets shot too. So he dumps his mag right here and you can see all the bullets fall out, which is like a triple quadruple feed. And the officer in front of him is the one that got shot in the ear. Now, do we have the body camera to finish this out? Do we have that body camera footage? I think it's right after this. I'll take care of it, Josh, because I've seen it a million times. Now, one, yes, I love this video here, but let me find Detective 2 really quick just for our video guys. And then we'll close this out. Let's see if I can get there to it. Let's see here. I want to show you the one officer that's going to get shot. I think this is him, right? Nope. This is the one that puts it down. It's this other guy.
Yeah, I think it's more towards the end. I think they saved like the best for last because he talks about bleeding and he got hit.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Detective number one. Let's see here. Boom, boom. Oh, okay, here we go, guys. This is it. So this is the officer that jumps out of his car. He's on the far left of this movement. He gets out. He has no weapons malfunctions or anything. And he's really the one that saves everybody because I believe that he's probably the first one to actually shoot the suspect. No cover, out of his vehicle, walking in. Again, watch how his weapon is angled so that he's not shooting through. He's shooting into. Just watch all of this. It's really great. Look at that. Look at the muzzle. See how it's all hitting by the gas tank.
After he's allowing for it to rise a little bit.
And just no fear. No fear. These guys are my favorite. I mean, these guys, out of all the things that we've ever broken down on this show, these dudes are my favorite. What a bunch of studs. And if you want to show your officers something, you want to give your guys some motivation, you want to, you're in the academy, you're an instructor, and you want to give everybody a little bit of go out there and win a fight. Be this guy all the way around. Be physically fit like these guys. Don't be a fat turd. Know how to transition your weapon. Practice your tap rack ready. Practice your tap rack ready.
Practice you can do that at home.
Tap rack ready. Oh, it takes nothing. Practice it. Practice it because on the highest level, these guys have the best weaponry, SIG rifles, the best rifles. They went down, two of them, two different dudes. Hey, listen, when I first saw the two weapons went down, my first thing I did was, what did the cops do wrong? I thought maybe they slammed it up on, use it as like a monopod, right? You know, you know the bad habit, right? You slam the magazine down on the hood of your car, cause them, they didn't do it. Maybe he was getting out and he hit the mag release on his way out of the car. I slowed it down. He didn't do it. So when I called the guys from the Tactical Association, I said, listen, I've watched this video several times. I don't see what they did to cause a malfunction. Does anybody have any answers to this? He said, yeah, we actually talked to these guys. And I want to say it was either a barrel issue or they were using a higher grain than the magazine were capable of. But they have since fixed that exact issue. Yeah. And I said, well, why didn't that come out on the range? And they didn't really have an answer.
Well, typically we don't practice with the rounds that we have on duty because those are more expensive rounds. We use less quality, less expensive rounds. And I bet that could have been the issue. Yeah.
There you go. I think you're 100% correct. Again, that's why I love having a guest on, because I didn't even think about that. But you're probably right. They were probably using a much different grain, and that didn't come out. But it just goes to show you that even when you have the Gucci gear, right, and you are tacked out, you've done all your training, it's the fundamentals that will save your life. It is the tap rack ready. It's the transitioning to your pistol, having everything in action. It's And still being able to manipulate a fierce firefight and do everything correctly, remembering to touch your partner as you approach and to let him know that you're going to be shooting from his left side, knowing that as soon as you make contact with that first vehicle, that you have to go get that hostage when the hostage bails out. Like, all of these things take so much precision. And if you're just a lonely peasant street cop, Jensen says that you can't be involved in something like this. What if a street cop pulled this car over? not knowing there's a hostage in there and not knowing that you're going up against the fucking Carreña or whatever. Yeah. What was the Pablo Escobar? Yeah, I don't know who these guys belong to.
It just shows you that the basics will save your life. And it's the stuff we don't want to drill, because it's when you're drilling it, this is easy. No, you have to practice those basics over and over and over and over so it looks this easy.
How about getting out of your fucking car from the passenger side?
Oh yeah, that was a Hail Mary move for him. He was like, "Oh, didn't work." He had a plan ready. So I mean, he did try to get out of his driver's side.
He did. I don't know that I could get out of my vehicle with all my shit on to get over the center console. You know,
yeah.
How many of you cops right now have, you know, your leftover Wendy's cup from yesterday, your Starbucks hot ass fucking coffee sitting in there right now, your bag of cookies and snacky poos, all stacked up, and then your go bag, your laptop. How are you getting out? Yeah. How are you getting out? Yeah. That's well, cool.
Bulls,
that's
bulls
cool.
Are a good motivator. Ticket
writing. I'm glad you have all your ticket stuff in your little toy cars for your car accident stuff in your passenger seat. That's great. You're squared away. You got your whole file cabinet for court. How are you going to get the fuck out of your car?
Yeah. Yeah. Bullets are a good motivator. They get you moving.
A lot of things to think about in this. Listen, I know you got to get back to sleep. Tell us briefly, I know I want to let you go here. Sure. Where can our listeners follow you? Your Instagram is huge. You guys got a big podcast going.
You guys can find me, Two Cops, One Donut, all spelled out at almost every platform. On our website is Two Cops, One Donut. Or you can type in the number 2. Cops, the number 1 donut, and you can find us there. We're on every platform, guys. Spotify, YouTube, all the social medias, so you can find us there. Our biggest things are Apple and Spotify at the moment. Instagram is very big, but I'm very easy to reach if you guys ever have questions or anything like that. Most of my stuff is based on humanizing humor and education, kind of like what we just did here. And so, yeah, I appreciate the opportunity, sir. This was fun. I'd love to do this again.
Hey, you could do it anytime. If you ever got a case that you want to break down or whatever, more than welcome to come on our show anytime. You've been a joy. You were a joy an hour before the show. I absolutely got no prep work done thanks to you. But I had a fucking good time doing it, man. And last night, guys, I just real quick, I know like last night I got a text and it was like, man, I'm getting off of work really late, which means very early in the morning. Anyway, we can push this back in hour. You know I can't push it back an hour because you chats guys are all in here and I don't want to, I don't want to fuck you guys over. You guys pay to be here. We love it. Captain Simpson in the chat again, Matt Pitcher, some of the other guys. You know I don't want to miss you guys to miss out on this. And I was like, man, this guy's one gonna big time me tomorrow. Guarantee you he's gonna big time me. Oh, sorry, I fell asleep. Oh, I didn't wake up. I didn't hit my alarm clock. So I was already prepared to do this by myself. And I was like, or he's gonna come on and he's gonna be a dead fish and I'm gonna have to carry the show. But he was an hour early to the show. And I don't know, you faked it. I don't know if you did some blow before you came on here or what, but you
energy drinks, yourself. Baby.
You handled yourself accordingly. So we really, really appreciate you. And thank you again, Eric.
Hey, not a problem, brother.
For everybody else out there, thank you to all of our sponsors. Guns up, giddy up.